Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. And happy Easter. He has risen indeed. And a special welcome to those of you who are making your way to Parliament Hill to celebrate Easter morning service with the church in the city. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it's my pleasure to talk about Jesus on this Easter Sunday morning. This is a special morning. It's the morning of the greatest celebration on the Christian calendar. It is the morning where we celebrate life, resurrected life, the life of Jesus. This morning's sponsor, Bruce Newman, salutes Jericho Road Christian Ministries. Jericho Road is a local registered charity that exists to serve the poor, the addicted, the mentally ill. They do an outstanding service for our community. Thanks, Bruce, for recognizing them. The resurrection is at the heart of the gospel. It is the fount of our hope. It is the focus of our faith. It is the foundation of all we believe. By it, we see salvation to be possible, the gospel to be true, and Jesus to be God. The Bible says that Jesus was raised to life for our justification. The Bible says that we have a living hope through the resurrection. The Bible says that it is the power of God, and it was demonstrated that first equal Easter morning when the stone was rolled away. This morning, I want you to know that the resurrection was not only a historical event that verified who Jesus was, but that the resurrection was meant to be a personal to you. If you let it, it will transform your life. So I want to take you back to that first Easter and listen to the Easter story again. On the first day of the week, the Bible says, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Well, on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to call your attention to the fact that the resurrection of Jesus was not only a historical event, but it was meant to be a personal event in your life as well. Listen to one more passage of Scripture. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 2. Apostle Paul writes this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." There's the resurrection made personal. "The life I live in the body," he goes on to say, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This morning, I want to consider these two passages of Scripture together, for my contention today is that Christianity only makes sense when we experience the power of the resurrection in the present. But sometimes we miss the resurrection. We see it as a historical event that put Christianity into motion, but it then becomes just more about tradition and remembering the history rather than something that's profound and present and personal. The angels at that first Easter asked the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" You know, we sometimes do the same thing. The angel's words were plain. If you're searching for a body of a dead person, you search in the cemetery. If you're searching for a living person, you may search in the marketplace, the city streets, or a person's home. But the last place where you would expect to find a living person is buried in a tomb with dead people. So the angel asked the women, "Why are you doing that which does not make sense? Jesus is alive, and you're looking for him in a place where only dead people reside. Remember what he told you? This is the third day. He is risen from the dead. Why do you look for the living among the dead?" We can make the same mistake. We can look for the life of Christ that is to infuse and empower us among dead tradition, dead history. One of my favorite tourist attractions in the National Capital Region is Upper Canada Village. This is a village in the Prescott area that has been reconstructed to resemble a town in the 1860s. Different tradespeople in costumes imitate what it would have been like to be a carpenter or a blacksmith or a horseman in the middle 1860s. There's a one-room schoolhouse and a farm and tailors and blacksmiths. All of these places are created to give us the idea about what it would have been like to live back then. Of course, all the people who lived in the 1860s are dead now. What is there is just recreated history. Upper Canada Village is a place where history lives. People who go there can imagine what it would have been like to live in that period of time, but it's not real. The people in costumes go home to their modern houses and drive their modern cars and live in their modern lifestyle. Sometimes I think that people try to live their Christianity out that way as well. We drive back into history. We create in our mind's eyes the circumstances that surrounded the early church. We become intimately acquainted with the lives of Peter and Paul and James and John. We remember the traditions of the church that we grew up in. We remember the hymns that we sung and the rituals that we did. We start to think, if I could just create the good old days, then things would be better. If I could just get back to the New Testament church or the traditional church, those were the good old days. And sometimes we even try. And we get stuck in our traditions that harken back to what we think was a better time. It's kind of like Upper Canada for religion. If I could get to know how they lived, if I could put on a time period costume by using just the right idioms of speech, getting the right church structure, if I can just imitate the life of the disciples, if we as a group could just imitate the early church, then all would be good with Christians. But to those of you who would live that way, I would ask this one question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The message of the resurrection screams out against this kind of Christianity. Our Lord came back to life that first Easter Sunday, and he still lives. Our resurrected Lord is not just an event like the 1860s that has come and gone, but it is an event that happened and continues on to this present day. He lives. Paul said, "I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." He lives in me. If Christ lives in you, then the resurrection that is historical becomes both personal and current. If Christ lives in you, it's not about a dying tradition. It is about a living relationship with a living God. The Lord Jesus, who was resurrected that first Easter Sunday, lives that resurrected life out for each one of us who have responded to the gospel. Because of this, the resurrection is not just an event in history. The power of the resurrection reverberates down through the centuries, and it is just as forceful now as it was back then. The risen Lord has not come and gone. He still is. And that resurrected life is demonstrated through the lives of believers even in 2017. Christ lives in me. Those people who would like to boil down Christianity to a philosophy or a creed, they miss the point. The gospel is simply this, that we were separated from God by sin. The Bible says we were dead in our transgressions and sin. We could do nothing to get rid of our sin. We could do nothing to make ourselves alive spiritually. But God loved us. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to deal with our sin. And he did it by taking it upon himself and dying on the cross. And now when we put our faith in Jesus, our sin is forgiven. It is taken away. And the Bible says we are made alive. We become new creations. We are alive in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. Jesus lives in us. That is God's plan for salvation. That's God's plan for you. It's not just a system of belief that saves us, although what we believe is important. It's not our traditions that save us, although there is much to be learned from tradition. It's not our religious practice that saves us, although there's a lot to be said for church attendance and prayer. We are saved and we are given new life when Jesus comes into our life. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who saves us. What is required of you is to put your faith in Jesus. Of course, you know, though, that faith is only as good as that which you put your faith in. You know, some of you went skating on the Rideau Canal this year in the wintertime, and you believed that the ice was thick enough to hold you. You had faith in the ice. What held you up, your faith or the ice? Well, it was the ice, of course. Faith is important, but more important is what you put your faith in. The gospel, the plan of salvation, only works because it is centered around the person of Jesus Christ. It's not centered around tradition. It's not centered around what happened a long time ago. It's centered around Jesus and what he did and what he continues to do today. It's centered around Jesus himself. Now, some of you may think that I'm just splitting hairs here, but there's a vast difference between these two ways of approaching Christianity. Christianity is more than just a system of belief. It's about an experience of the resurrection in our lives, in our time. Today, we do more than just celebrate an event in history. We celebrate a reality that continues on in our lives in the church. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're going to take a moment and just reflect on that by listening to I Serve a Risen Savior.
I hear
Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He meant what he said. You cannot live out the Christian life as a philosophical system and call it Christianity. True Christianity is the life of Jesus Christ living within us. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. This is Easter Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We see that this was not only a historical event, but one that is meant to be lived out in our lives right now. But the question is how? How do I live out the life of Christ? The Bible says I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you've invited him into your life to forgive you of your sins and to give you his righteousness, if you've invited him in by faith and believe that he would do what he said he would do, then Jesus lives in you. That's the best definition of what a Christian is, one in whom Jesus dwells. So if he is in you, what does it mean to live by faith? Well, how did you become a Christian? You believed that Jesus would do what he said he would do. You believed that you were separated from God by sin, and you knew that you had broken God's laws. You heard the words of Christ that he spoke about forgiveness. You believed that Jesus took your sin, and he took it with him to the cross. And you believed that when you asked him to forgive you, he did. You believed that when you asked him to come into your life, he did. And you believed that in the promises that he gave you. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become children of God. You believed that when you gave your life to Jesus, that you became a child of God. In other words, you took Christ at his word. You believed that he would do what he said he would do. You asked him into your life to forgive you of your sin. You believed that he came into your life and he forgave you of your sin. And as you did that, you became a Christian. People, the rules, the way of living out the Christian life are the same as it is for becoming a Christian. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. You believe that Christ will do what he said he would do? We believe that, well, Jesus said if you lose your life, you'll find it. If we choose to live for Jesus rather than ourselves, then Jesus will fulfill his end of the bargain and give us life and life to the full and teach us really how to live. That's what it means to live by faith. I'm going to do what Jesus said I should do, and I'm going to trust him that he'll fulfill his promises. We believe that when we choose to pray rather than be anxious, bringing specific needs before God and learning how to give thanks for the things God has already done, that God will keep his end of the bargain and grant us his peace. For Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is living by faith. We do what Christ said we should do, and we believe that God will do what he said he would do. We do what Christ said we should do, and we believe that God will do what he said he would do. That's what it means to live by faith. But whether it be the power to really live, or the power to see peace in our lives, or the power to love our enemies, or the power to be really joyful in hope, or patient in trial, or to see strength in sufferings, or to have confidence that all things will work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, if we live by faith and we trust that Christ will do what he said he would do, that's what it means to live out the Christian life. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Christian life becomes a moment-by-moment question of, what does God want me to do? And then doing it and leaving the results up to God. And that can be really freeing. For those of you who are students heading into exams at this time of year, some of you have been spending a lot of time worrying over exams. If you'd spend some time saying, God, what do you want me to do? Study? Okay, I'll study. Rest? Okay, I'll rest. And then I'll trust you for the marks that I need to fulfill your will and calling in my life. Walk by faith. The life you live in the body, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. People, the resurrection speaks out of against living Christianity as a philosophy. The risen Lord is a reality. Too often we slip towards a faith that merely grants assent to the right things or the right beliefs, rather than seeing the power of God lived out in our lives. As I've been talking this morning, I know that there are some of you who have been feeling that tug of Christ in your life. You can invite Jesus into your life by simply praying a prayer like, Lord Jesus, you died for me. Please forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I trust you will do what you said you would do. I give my life to you. Help me to follow you. Help me to live out your life in me. And when you pray a prayer like that, God hears and God answers. I want you to know that when you put your faith in Jesus, he will do what he said he would do. There are some of you listening to me who have given your life to Jesus, but you're not living by faith. This morning, I would urge you in the quietness of your own heart to say, Jesus, forgive me for not living the life the way you want me to, and help me to trust you with every aspect of my life. Show me how to do that. Jesus responds to prayers like that. The message of the angel 2,000 years ago is, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. And this is not just a historical fact, but it is something that each of us can experience right now. I trust you will be able to say with Paul and with us, Christ lives in me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the fact that your resurrection that happened so long ago still reverberates to today. And I ask that you would help people to find life in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to Good News in the Morning. And if Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your faith journey, we would love to hear from you. Nothing could encourage us more. You can contact us by Twitter via the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Thank you for listening. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. A special thanks to Bruce Newman, who gave a shout-out to Jericho Road Christian Ministries. If you can help financially, we would appreciate it. You can give by going to the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or if you want to send a check by mail, you can make the check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. May you know Jesus personally and profoundly, and may the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to go out listening to the choir sing this great Easter hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.